When I get back to the townhouse, Sebastian Crow, my old boss and new roomie, is asleep on the couch. I reach out a hand to touch him, but pull back before my fingers brush his temple. I don't want to wake him. I want him to sleep like this forever. Peaceful. At ease. In a place where the C-word can't reach him. Every day he seems to shrink a bit more, and his spirit grows bigger to compensate for the reduction of physical space he occupies. He's ill, and there is nothing I can do about it because it's terminal. My dog Whisper and I have moved in to keep him company and make sure he doesn't fall down the stairs on our watch. But beyond that, it is hopeless. There is a great fire that he seems to burn with now. His body has turned against him, but his mind refuses to let go just yet. Not until the book is done. When he asked me to help organize and fact-check it for him, I couldn't say no. Not to Sebastian Crow, the career journalist who is writing his memoirs as he nears the end of his life. Writing it as a love letter to his dead mother and an apology to his estranged son. Also as an explanation to the lover he has abandoned. What I have read of it is beautiful, but it means that he is spending his last days living in the past, because there is no future. Not for him. Whisper nudges my hand. She is restless, on edge. She feels it too. I put her on a leash because I don't trust her mood, and we walk to the park across the street. There's a man there who has been trying to pet her, so we steer clear of him in a spirit of generosity toward his limbs. On the other side of the park is a pathway that hugs the coastline. Smoke from unseen fires lingers even here. Not even the sea breeze can dispel it. We walk, both of us feeling uneasy, until we circle back around to the park. I sit on a bench with Whisper pulled close. The man who has been watching me walks right past us. Nice night for a bit of light stalking, I say. Don't you think? The man stops, faces me. He opens his mouth, perhaps considering a lie, but shuts it again. My back is to the dim streetlight that overlooks this section of the park. Whisper and I are just dark shapes to him, but he is fully illuminated. His coat is opened, and at his neck there is a long swath of mottled skin running from the hinge of his jaw to his collarbone. It looks like new skin tried to grow there once but gave up halfway, leaving behind an unfinished impression. He's an older man, but I find his age hard to place. Whatever it is, he has used his years to learn how to dress well. Sleek jacket, nice shoes. It doesn't add up. A man, careful with his appearance, who spends his evenings sitting in a park and following women as they walk their dogs. We wait in a kind of charged silence, all three of us. Whisper yawns and runs her tongue over her sharp canines to speed things along. He takes this as the threat it's no doubt meant to be.
Your sister told me where to find you, he says finally. If he thinks that's supposed to put me at ease, he's off his meds. Lorelei hasn't spoken to me since last year, since I stole her husband's car and ran it off the road and into a ravine. But I decide to play the game anyway. What do you want?
Damned if I know, he says with a rueful smile. Taking a trip down memory lane in my winter years, I suppose.
And what's that got to do with me?
I knew your father once.
It's a good thing his voice is soft, because said even a decibel louder, that statement could have knocked me on my ass if I wasn't already on it.
May I sit down?
He gestures to the bench. There's something odd about his tone. His enunciation is too measured for someone confronted by an unpredictable animal. I wonder if the scar at his neck has anything to do with his casual demeanor. If he is one of those men who is so accustomed to danger that it doesn't faze him anymore.